Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Hey, Jamie.
Yes?
It's Freestyle Friday. And I am Glenn McGee from Lexington, Kentucky.
And I'm Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona. And you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for August 19th, 2011, episode 210, sponsored today by Kentucky Performance Products. Good morning, Horse World.
I can't take it anymore.
Thank God it's Friday.
I would like, if I may, to take you on a strange journey.
We worked all week so that we can eat and own a little piece of God's ground. Pushing papers and pens, red tape never ends. The stress can turn a smile into a frown. I need some horsing around.
Haboob, haboob, haboob. I have never, ever said the word haboob before this year, and now we're saying haboob all the time. Did you get haboobed yesterday?
Let me just tell you that Phoenix, Arizona, in August, is like living in hell. It is just the most god-awful place ever on the planet. My God, August. You know what was really fun? At the haboob comes, and then we really got doused of mosquitoes. So I don't know where that came from, but they blew in from somewhere. My God. I'm scratching mosquito bites right now still this morning. Yes, we got the haboob. It was horrible. It was like all of a sudden there was just massive wind, and then then you realize you can't actually open your eyes. And I was in the middle of trying to feed my horses. And you're walking around, and they have fly masks on because I left the fly mask on so they could, you know, just not get as much stuff in their eyes. Well, it didn't work for me. And I had, like, sand and grit in my eyes, and I'm trying to feed them, and I'm going, I'm sorry, we live here. I'm sorry. Please just eat your hay.
Wait, I saw the pictures, and wow, this was as bad as the first one. This thing was huge.
Yeah, it was nasty. I've never been around anything like this at either, and it's just so strange to have, like, all of a sudden it's calm and quiet and hot, and then this wind just comes in from nowhere. If you've ever seen, again, I refer to the Neverending Story, it's like the nothing is coming. The nothing is coming, run! And so this nothing comes and just sweeps up everything. And like, it's just sand and grit and wind. And of course, furniture is blowing by and small children and dogs are going. It's like that. I just saw the Wicked Witch of the East like go by on her bicycle. It's just crazy.
And they said there were power outages and everything. This one was apparently pretty bad. There were poles down and just a mess in there in Phoenix.
Yeah, it was pretty exciting. I love the fact that when the first thing you say to me this morning really early before the show is, did you get hit by that haboob? Well, of course I did. It swallowed Phoenix. Nah, it went around me. It just went right around me. Nah, I'm fine.
Oh, my. So let me think here. You know, I just don't know about you, but I'm glad it's Friday this week. This week seemed to go on forever. We didn't get a break last weekend. We were working, that's why.
Okay, I'm sorry. The sun is coming up, and it was dark by the time I got home last night, and because I had gone to get hay, and so I'm driving home in the dark with hay in the back of the truck, and the sun is now, just now, coming up in Phoenix, and I'm looking outside the window because I'm at home, and I have no patio furniture. None. It's all in the ditch on the side of the yard. Where'd my table and chairs go?
Does this mean you're going to have to clean out the pool again?
Oh, God, I don't even want to think about the pool. Oh, no, that's the worst job. This is the worst. Okay, I still have horses out there. That's good.
yes, it's Friday.
Thank God it's Friday. Oh, I'm sure all my pool furniture's in the pool, without a doubt.
Hey, okay. Jennifer, what are we doing today?
On today's Kentucky Performance, let me try that again. Cut.
It's Friday.
Reset. On today's Kentucky Performance Products Freestyle Friday Edition, we start out with grooming, like any good horse person would. And in this case, it's Liv Good and Max Cochran here to tell us about Pro Equine Grooms, something new for the unsung heroes of the horse world. And then perhaps we will find out who won the election in Black Beauty and whether or not taxes are going to go up. And after that, really bad ads takes over the interweb airways, and hilarity will ensue.
I don't think there's any question. Taxes will go up. There's no question. Even back in the 1800s. Hey,
I was looking to see who won. I was just looking at Black Beauty to see who won the election, but you know what? I'm just going to have to stay in suspense with the rest of you. Sorry, go ahead. Sorry for interrupting.
I'm trying to play the Daily Winnie, but it's sitting here going around and around and around and around, and it won't play. All right, so let's try this again.
You mean to do the noise?
Well, let me one more piece. Ah, there we go.
Hey.
My Daily Winnie goes out. It's related to my question of the day yesterday, which is, have you ever moved your furniture and other things in your horse trailer? Well, there were a lot of comments, and the general consensus is, yes, people have moved almost everything in their horse trailers. I thought there were a couple odd ones, and Gene, you get my Daily Winnie. Gene Carrera Price says, no, but I took the back seat out of a 1955 Chevy to transport a blind stud pony once. Anybody who takes the seat out of their car to transport a horse is a true horse person. That person deserves an award right there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I like it. 1955 Chevy. Just take the back out. We'll just put him in the back seat.
Just throw that stud pony back there, and we'll hope he doesn't see a mare along the way. let's see here. Patricia also said, Patricia Bowen, and I know what her house looks like now. Ours was used to take all the taxidermy out of my house to Gander Mountain for display. Thank God. So you know who the hunter in that house is. Not her.
Oh, that's funny. Thank God.
Do you have one?
Yes, I do. My Daily Winnie would go to, and I can do this Daily Winnie because he's still asleep and he's not going to get mad. The Daily Winnie today goes to the Atlanta Braves. They just took 3 out of 4 games from the San Francisco Giants. And if you recall, my husband was born in San Francisco. So it has been a battle of the couple this week with the two teams going head-to-head. And my Atlanta Braves won in a walk-off fashion twice during this series. So Atlanta Braves 3, Giants 1. What's up, people? That's right. And so basically there was no love in this house last night. There was, I went to bed and he stayed out here on the computer looking up the potential of his team making it into the playoffs, which is goose egg 0, and my team is about to win the wild card. So just so you know, I'm done with my tangent because I couldn't do this to him because he was so mad.
listen to you and all that baseball talk and terminology.
I know. I'm talking to Noah right now. I mean, I think Susan likes baseball, one of our listeners, and I don't know. I think most other people don't. If you like baseball, post it on Facebook for me, please, because then I don't know who I'm talking to when I do these things, because certainly Glenn checks out. It's like me talking about baseball is like me reading a chapter of Black Beauty to him. He just stares at the wall. Yeah.
We had the opportunity to take Jamie. She flew in Friday night to Philadelphia last week, and an hour after she flew in, two blocks away from the airport, the Phillies were playing, and, you know, we could have gotten seats and taken you to that, but then I thought, if I did that, I would have had to been along and actually sat in one of those seats. That was it. That answered the question. You're not going to watch baseball.
You'd be like, Jamie, we got you one ticket to the Phillies game. Okay,
we'll
great. When are we going? No.
and
you know what?
Home.
What's really bad is having one ticket to the Phillies game and going to the Phillies game by myself. I wouldn't come home. Because those Phillies fans are angry. They are angry people. I don't know why their team's in first place, but they boo their own team. They boo their own players all the time. So they're angry, and if I walked in there like with a Braves jersey on, I wouldn't come out alive. So
no,
it's probably a good thing for both of us.
You wouldn't, but you know what? And you would, and it's cheesesteak country. That doesn't do you any good anyway, so... it would have been, it's cheesesteak country. Philly's known for cheesesteaks, and that you wouldn't have done very good at that stadium.
I thought you said cheap date. What?
That's funny. Hey, I get a magazine because I belong to the American Driving Society, and their official publication that comes out four times a year is called The Whip. And it's a great magazine because it has pretty pictures of carriages and horses. But they had an article in there I wanted to talk to you about. It was called Equipment We Can't Do Without on Our Farm. So what, and they asked people on their website, what was the piece of equipment that they couldn't do without on their farm? And, you know, I want to ask yours too, but let me give you some of the examples. One of them was a tractor. We definitely could not have done without our tractor. We had the best tractor. We had an Oliver 770, which is a pretty big tractor. And, boy, we used that tractor for everything. We taught, and when the kids would come over, we'd always had a dozen teenagers that were at our barn and had horses there and stuff. We taught them all to drive the tractor. We thought that was a rite of initiation. Once you turned, there was no specific age. It was rather how tall you were. If you could reach the clutch and you could press the clutch in the whole way, then it was time to teach you to drive the tractor. And I know we had a few teenagers that they were standing on their tippy toes to push that clutch in. Because, you know, tractor clutches, they're hard to push in. So, but I have fond memories of our Oliver 770 tractor. But that was one of the things on here. Pocket knife was another one. And, you know, you're always out in the barn and you're always needing to cut things. Today you don't put your pocket knife in your pocket. That happens every time.
Yeah.
Duct tape.
You know what we... Well, I was going to say the knife comment. Unfortunately, I can never keep a pocket knife with me. I'm a girl, and I can't remember to pack a pocket knife. So right now, sticking out of the top bale of hay is a steak knife, because every time I need a knife, I end up running in and grabbing a steak knife from my kitchen. And then I just run back out there and cut it. I'm like, oh. I should leave it here. And I don't know what keeps happening, but, you know, you've got those big blocks that in your kitchen that you put your knives in, into the little sheath. Currently, there are 3 steak knives in there and 7 empty slots. So when we move and we lift up the pallets that are underneath the hay bales, I bet you I'm going to find an entire steak knife collection.
It's probably true. We definitely have done that. I think everybody has done that, too. We had more regular knives out there than we did pocket knives. I just lost my pocket knife. It only took me about 2 minutes to lose my pocket knife. I could have bought them by the case. Duct tape also is on the list. I don't think we need to say anything about duct tape. You just got to have it.
Can I guess one?
Yeah.
Oh, it's not heated. Baling twine. I use baling twine.
I think that this is the one thing that's not on this, and I'm going, how could you have this list without baling twine?
Oh, my gosh. Baling twine is hanging my buckets right now, my feed buckets. Baling twine is hanging my little fly control. We've got baling twine wrapped around the misters to hold the misters into place. Baling twine is everywhere on my farm. I'm sure it's probably not the most attractive. But, yes, baling twine is everywhere. How did that not make the list?
I know. That should have made the list because that definitely is a necessity. Heated water buckets, that's for the people in that don't live in Phoenix. One of the answers in here I thought was interesting was my husband. The most important piece of equipment to run my ranch is my husband. He works hard every day hauling cattle. We work hard on our ranch. But he loves doing all the pesky, annoying chores I hate to do. So there you go. Shout out to all the horse husbands out there doing all the crap that our women don't want to do.
Yeah, that's awful sweet. But, yeah, they pretty much just go, yeah, I keep them around for the crap work.
We're doing the barn this weekend because the person we keep our barn with is going away for the weekend, so we volunteered mm-hmm. to do the barn. So it's going to be like old times. It's going to be like the old days. Jennifer and I out there mucking stalls and cleaning the barn at 92 degrees and me bitching about everything and her telling me to shut up. It'd be like the old days.
Yeah, right there. You nailed it.
Hey, barn. One of the answers on here is my barn sink. You know, a sink in the barn. We never had that luxury. We never had a sink in our barn. So we never had that. Do you have
one? I don't even have walls in my barn.
You don't even have a barn. Cordless drill, that is an important one. I thought another good one on here was beer. B-E-R. B-E-R. B-E-E-R. Beer.
I'm like, what are you spelling? Is it really bad?
That's a good one. No, beer was a good one. And then it went on with a couple others. So my question, Jamie, is in Phoenix, what can't you do without?
You know what I did here? Instead of having, you know, you go into a barn and you've got the feed bucket or the feed bin and then a couple water buckets hanging up. Instead of water buckets, I have muck tubs that sit on the ground and I clean them every day. But the horses literally, because I leave a couple of my horses up all day long because they just can't handle the heat, and they will drain an entire muck bucket full of water by about 1 o'clock in the afternoon.
Wow.
Yeah, I'll stick my head in there and drink with them because, my God, it's so hot out there. Good Lord. Do you know it was 114 degrees yesterday? So I have to always make sure I go out and I refill these muck tubs. We have automatic water in the pasture. So when the horses that are out, they've got plenty of access to it. And, of course, you have to check that and clean it every single day. But the muck tubs, definitely. If I had to fill water buckets in this place, I couldn't do it. You just can't do it. You'd be filling buckets all the time.
Wow, we have 5 gallon muck. Most of them here just don't even drink a 5 gallons in a day, you know?
Yeah. Think of a muck tub, like a huge muck tub. It's gone by 1 o'clock in the afternoon.
Well, so I guess that's good. It's good to drink it.
If they get behind drinking one day, then it's all over. They colic. It happens almost immediately. So on the days like last night with the haboob, I'll preemptively give them a lot of electrolytes and kind of try to encourage drinking for the overnight. Because anyway, I've got a little system to make sure that they don't stop drinking. But yeah, if they get behind, it's bad.
Well, Jennifer, post on Facebook what the question of the day will be, what is the piece of equipment that you can't live without at your barn? So make that the question of the day, and I'd love to see the answers to that. That'll be fun. And then also, we posed a question yesterday. Let's see here. We posed a question yesterday, and I'm trying to find it. We have so much on our Facebook page.
Moving. However,
oh, no.
Before
it was
we
the
get
chair.
To that.
It was the chair.
Oh, yeah.
And it looks like I was in the minority. All these people love the chair.
Oh, my God. It's the coolest piece of furniture ever. It's a chair, an English saddle chair, rocked over on its pommel, and it's got little stirrups, and it's so cute, and everybody liked it. 13 people I have clicked on it just since yesterday and like it, and it's huge. But I would like to point out, even more popular than the chair, the Budweiser commercial with the donkey. That made me cry, and you laughed at me for making me cry. And yes. I posted, does anyone else get teary-eyed watching this? And just about every woman said that she got teary-eyed, and it's a tearjerker.
Wow, I didn't see until you just said this. I just looked at it. I didn't see how many people commented on that.
It's huge, and some people hadn't even seen it. I think I saw it during the Super Bowl, and that was it. But, yes, I was laughing and tearing up at the same time. Yes, I'm in tears in the first couple seconds. I love this commercial and the Budweiser 9/11 one. That's a tearjerker. And, yeah, everybody, all these girls, this is tear-worthy. Oh, she said because she's laughing so hard she's crying. Whatever. I just cried. I don't know why. It was emotional. He made me tear.
Yeah, I got to agree with everybody, though. I might have even shed a little tiny tear at the 9/11 one. And you realize,
I don't know that one.
Yeah, you have to watch that one, too. Just search for 9/11 Bud commercial, and it'll come up. But it was definitely a tearjerker. It was actually in tribute to the Twin Towers and 9/11 and all of that, which, by the way, you know, we're coming up on 10 years for that.
You know,
it seems like yesterday.
I know, it really does. But can I give you a really random story here? Because I'm so proud of my husband. I was informed yesterday that he is going to be going to Los Angeles and doing a flyover for Patriots Day at one of the big games and everything like that, and has a bunch of ceremonies to go to because he's going to be a fighter pilot to fly over to one of the stadiums. And it's just so cool. So I'm going to actually go on Friday afternoon and go down there to Los Angeles and hang out with him.
Well, is that on, for 9/11?
Yeah, it's September 10th. It's a game.
Okay. And because 9/11 is on a Sunday this year. Yeah,
it is. It's September 11th is on a Sunday, so there's a bunch of stuff that we'll have to go to on Sunday, too. It's just an honor to be a part of that, obviously. So I'm very, very proud of him going to L.A. and going to be a part of Patriots Day and honor people. And it's great. I'm just so proud of him.
Well, you should be. That's terrific. Good job. All right, what else? We got to do Black Beauty, don't we?
We have to do Black Beauty, but I have a news story for you, Glenn.
Okay.
I found something that will really excite you before we get, you know, to Black Beauty and our guests and talk about grooming horses. I thought maybe we should give you something fun. I found a rescue story, and here's the headline.
You found a rescue story?
Yes. I did. It's Friday. I figured I'd just give it up for you. But dramatic sea rescue for horse. A horse was being ridden by his owner, and I can't figure out what happens with horses, but it said they get a little bit confused when they're at the ocean. Well, this horse, named Shalimar, had been spooked when its owner was riding it in the ocean, and she fell off. Well, instead of heading back to shore, where does the horse go? Straight out to sea. Just starts swimming the wrong way. And so the owner is scrambling, trying to swim and catch up with him. But, of course, she can't. And then all of a sudden she's really far away and she could potentially drown. So they had to call the Royal National Lifeboat Institution, which was Admiral Lloyd Boyce. This is obviously in England. And the horse had swum 800 meters, which I believe is well over 100 yards. So an entire football field, this horse had swam out there, and he was swimming around kind of like, you know, back and forth, just trying to figure out where he was. Well, they had to take their boats out there, go all the way out to this. They reached the scene in 15 minutes. And then apparently the horse was starting to go under by the time they got there. And they went out with their lifeboat rescue and saved the horse.
This is the first ocean rescue story we have had. Let me guess, this was out of England.
Of course. I just said it was out of Kent, England. So, I mean, Glenn, when the people that rescue the horse One of the people that was cycling by was Admiral Lloyd Boyce, chairman of the Royal National Lifeboat Institution. That's when he got on the phone and called for the Walmore Inshore Lifeboat was put to sea in the Sandwich Sea Sailing Club. Of course, this is all very European, very English.
Wow, that's a first, a rescue story where the horse was out in the ocean. I thought he got dumped off a boat or something there for a minute. I was going, what is he out doing on a boat?
Yeah, so there's a picture of him pictures of him trying to coax him back in. And, yeah, poor little thing. He just looks so tired.
I think probably she will not be riding that horse near the ocean anymore.
It would seem like probably a good idea to probably stay out of that. Because apparently he wants to kill himself.
Yes. All right, are you ready? Book in hand. Page open.
Check.
Page open.
Yes, I'm ready.
Oh. All right.
This is a dramatic reading by Jamie Jennings of the English classic Black Beauty by Anna Sewell.
Chapter 43, A Friend in Need. At last came the election day, and there was no lack of work for Jerry and me. First came a stout, puffy gentleman with a carpet bag. He wanted to go to Bishopsgate Station. And then we were called by a party who wished to be taken to Regent's Park. And next we were wanted in the side street where a timid, anxious old lady was waiting to be taken to the bank. And there we had to stop and take her back again. And just as we had set her down, a red-faced gentleman with a handful of papers came running up out of breath. And before Jerry could get down, he had opened the door, popped himself in, and called out, Bow Street Police Station, quick! So off we went with him, and when another turn or two we came back, there was no other cab on the stand. Jerry put on my nose bag, for as he said, we must eat when we can on such days as these, so munch away, Jack, and make the best of your time, old boy. I found I had a good feed of crushed oats, wetted up with a little bran. This would be a treat any day, but was especially refreshing then. Jerry was so thoughtful and kind. What horse would not do his best for such a master? Then he took out one of Polly's meat pies, and standing near me, he began to eat it. The streets were very full, and the cabs with the candidates' colors on them were dashing about through the crowd as if life and limb were no consequence. We saw two people knocked down that day, and one was a woman. The horses were having a bad time of it, poor things, but the voters inside thought nothing of that. Many of them were half-drunk, hurrahing out to the cab windows if the party came by. It was the first election I had seen. I don't want to be in another, though I have heard things are better now. Jerry and I had not eaten many mouthfuls before a poor young woman carrying a heavy child came along on the street. She was looking this way and that way and seemed quite bewildered. Presently, she made her way up to Jerry and asked if he could tell her the way to St. Thomas's Hospital and how far it was to get there. She had come from the country that morning, she said, in a market cart, and she did not know about the election and was quite a stranger in London. She had got an order from the hospital for her little boy. The child was crying with a feeble, pining cry. Poor little fellow, she said. He suffers a great deal of pain, and he is 4 years old and can't walk any more than a baby. But the doctor said if I could get him into the hospital, he might get well. Pray, sir, how far is it and which way is it? Why, Mrs., said Jerry, you can't get there walking through crowds like this. Why, it's 3 miles away, and that child is heavy. I said, yes, bless him, he is, but I am strong, thank God, and if I knew the way, I think I should get on somehow. Please tell me the way. You can't do it, said Jerry. You might be knocked down and the child could be run over. Now look here, just get into this cab and they'll drive you safe to the hospital. Don't you see the rain is coming on? No, sir, no, I can't do that, thank you. I have just enough money to get back with. Please tell me the way. Look here, Mrs. Jerry, said Jerry. I've got a wife and dear children at home, and I know a father's feelings. Now, get into that cab, and I'll take you there for nothing. I'd be ashamed of myself to let a woman and a sick child run a risk like that. Heaven bless you, said the woman, bursting into tears. There, there, cheer up, my dear, and I'll soon take you there. Let me put you inside. As Jerry went to open the door, two men with collars in their hats and buttonholes ran up calling out, Cab, cab! Engaged, said Jerry. But one of the men, pushing past the woman, sprang into the cab, followed by the other. Jerry looked as stern as a policeman. This cab is already engaged, gentlemen, by that lady. Lady, said one of them, oh, she can wait. Our business is very important. Plus, we were in first, and it's our right, and we shall stay in. A droll smile came over Jerry's face as he shut the door upon them. All right, gentlemen, pray stay in as long as it suits you. I can wait whilst you rest yourselves. And then turning his back upon them, he walked up to the young woman who was standing near me. They'll soon be gone, he said, laughing. Don't trouble yourself, my dear. And they soon were gone, for when they understood Jerry's dodge, they got out calling him all sorts of bad names and blustering about his number and getting a summons. After this little stoppage, we were soon on our way to the hospital, going as much as possible through by streets. Jerry rung the great bell and helped the young woman out. Thank you 1,000 times, she said. I could never have got here alone. You're kindly welcome, and I hope that your dear child will soon be better. He watched her go in the door and gently said to himself, "Inasmuch as we have done it to one of the least of these," he said, and then patted my neck, which was always his way when anything pleased him. The rain was now coming down fast, and just as we were leaving the hospital, the door opened again, and the porter called out, "Cab!" We stopped, and a lady came down the steps. Jerry seemed to know her at once, and she put on her black veil and said, "Barker, Jeremiah Barker, is that you? I am very glad to find you here. You are just the friend I want, for it is very difficult to get a cab in this part of London today. I shall be proud to serve you, ma'am. I am right glad I happen to be here. Where shall I take you to?" "To the Paddington station, and then if we're in good time, I think we shall be, you should tell me about Mary and the children." We got to the station in good time, and being under shelter, the lady stood a good while talking to Jerry. I found that she had been Polly's mistress, and after many inquiries about her, she said, "How do you find the cab work suits you in the winter? I know Mary was rather anxious about you last year." "Yes, ma'am, she was, and I had a bad cough that followed me quite into the warm weather. When I'm kept out late, she does worry a good deal. You see, it's all about hours and weathers, and it does try a man's constitution. But I'm getting on pretty well, and I should feel quite lost if I didn't have horses to look after." "Well, Barker, it'd be a great pity you should seriously risk your health in this work, and not for your own, but for Mary and the children's sake. There are many places where good drivers or good grooms are wanted, and if you ever think you ought to give up this cab work, please let me know." Then sending kind messages to Mary, she put something into his hand saying, "There's 5 shillings each for the 2 children. Mary will know how to spend it." Jerry thanked her and seemed much pleased, and turning out of the station, we at last reached home, and I, at least, was tired. And Monday, Chapter 44, Old Captain and His Successor.
Thank you, Jamie. Well, coming up, I'm going to make a confession here. Coming up right after I do this commercial for Kentucky Performance Products is one of
you
my
listen?
Favorite. Yeah, I did listen. There was
oh,
a
wow.
thing about cabs and cabs and ladies and mad gentlemen. See, I listened to the whole thing.
Right.
Anyway, coming up right after this commercial is, I'm going to make a confession here. One of my favorite guests that appears regularly on the shows on the Horse Radio Network, and we'll tell you who that is in a minute. Choose Kentucky Performance Product Supplements because the horse that matters to you matters to Kentucky Performance Products. This week, I want to speak with you about Elevate Maintenance Powder. Your horse has become cranky and sullen. Is his coat losing his healthy bloom? Is he prone to colic and off his feed? These are the symptoms of stomach irritation and ulcers. Prevent ulcers before they happen with Nalox Equine Antacid. Its unique formula buffers excess acid for up to 6 hours while it coats and protects a sensitive stomach. It's easy for Kentucky Performance Products to stand behind their products because they believe in them. Your complete satisfaction is guaranteed. If you are unsatisfied with any of their products, they will gladly refund your money. Learn more about Elevate Maintenance Powder and all the KPP products at kppusa.com. That's kppusa.com, and you'll also want to follow them on Facebook. Well, now we're going to bring on 2 guests, and one of them is one of my favorite people to listen to on the Horse Radio Network, other than you, Jamie. She is a regular guest on the Eventing Radio show. I think she tells great stories, and I think she's probably one of the best grooms in the world. And you know, if Karen O'Connor does not get up every morning thankful that Max is in the barn, then Max needs to get a new job because she should be appreciated. And that, of course, is Max Cochran. Good morning, Max.
Good morning, Glenn. You're making me blush very badly. Thank you very much. That was very kind of you.
I tried, but it is all true. You are one of my favorite guests. I make sure we have to proof all the shows, Jennifer and I make sure when you're on a show, I proof it. And you just did a great show about a dream vacation on the Eventing Radio Show that just came out this morning.
That was a really fun show to do. That was such a great idea of Chris's to do all that. And I just wish I actually got to go on that holiday with those people and those sorcerers. It would have been really fun. It was really, it was a great sort of fantasy. It was really fun.
Well, that's good. And, you know, all grooms need a fantasy when they're doing the drudgery work. So.
Oh, yeah. Yes, exactly.
Hey, can you introduce Liv for me?
Sure, I would. I'm hoping to know Liv more, but Liv is an entrepreneur for the grooms, and she has started an incredible website called Professional Equine Grooms, and it's a very exciting thing that she is putting on. And I hats off to her. It's something that I've wanted to do, but haven't had the time or the drive to get it done. And Liv, thank goodness, is doing this for us, and we're very excited to know her and to help her be a part of this awesome thing.
Well, good morning, Liv.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. Thank you so much for stopping by this morning. I think this is so important. Jennifer called earlier in the show. She called the grooms the unsung heroes of the horse world, and that is so very true, because the professional riders, you can't ride professionally and ride the number of horses they do without you guys.
Right. And in fact, so many, many barns also have, you know, a huge clientele with amateur riders that really rely on them as well, because they have families and jobs and things like that. So it's not just the groups from professionals, it's groups helping really anybody
who has
a horse.
Liv, we have a bad connection with you. Can I? I'll talk to Max here for a minute. Can I get you just to call us back and see if we can make that a little bit better?
Yeah, absolutely. Got it.
Okay. All right, thanks. So, Max, while she's giving us a call back, has there ever been anything like this before in any of the disciplines?
I don't think in any of the disciplines in this country, but there is in England. There is called the British Grooms Association, and they have basically have put together a group, and it's sort of exactly what we would like to do here in this country. That is for all disciplines, you know, not just for me. You know, obviously I'm more involved in eventing, so it's all disciplines. It's something that will help people give an outlet to find some resources for insurance or even a job, or what's the correct amount of pay. And it's not just for grooms, it's also for the professionals that are hiring the grooms. Some people just actually don't know what the norm is for pay or for whatever. So it's actually just a really great sounding board. It's a place where people can ask questions. It's a place where answers can be given too. So it's a very unique site. But to have it here in this country, our country is so huge. There's so many disciplines. I think it's exciting for a lot of reasons. More than anything, I personally, you know, for what I do for my job, I love the fact that I can continue learning. I can continue to learn when I go on some of these team trips. I watch what the jumper grooms do, and I watch what the dressage grooms do. And for me to be able to learn their knowledge, too, is such a neat thing. And you can, you know, pick and take whatever it is from what they do. And to be able to have a website that can do all that is really exciting. It's really, really fun.
You know, grooms have, in my mind, okay, this is how I picture it, and I could be wrong, and correct me if I am, I've always visioned grooms as people who are just doing it to start out, and they hope to become professional riders someday. So they're doing it for a very short period of time. But obviously, you have proved me wrong there, because you really made a career out of this. Is there a career to be made out of being a professional groom?
Oh, for sure. You know, I've lived a lot of my life, people saying to me when I first started back, I mean, I groomed professionally for a while, then I finished my degree. I went back to work in Boston for 5 years for an investment company. And then I left that to come back to work to the horses, because that was something that I was passionate about and something that I was very good at. And, you know, and I come from a complete non-horsey family. So for them to understand my decision was very, very difficult. And then it took until they came to actually visit me and saw what I did. They kept saying, oh, when are you going to get a real job, a real job? This is a real job. I mean, this is real. It doesn't, you know, when it comes to the horses, it doesn't get more real. This is a huge responsibility, and there's got to be some sort of pride that people take. You're not always going to find it from your bosses, but you got to find it from within. So, yes, it is a career. There's a lot of professional grooms and eventing right now that are making it a long-term career. And there definitely is a career. There's got to be some sort of honor and within yourself to know that your horse is doing better because of you.
Max, you know, I got to tell you, it makes me very, very happy to know that your family
yes.
also reacted like that. And you're the head of, like, the biggest eventing barn in the country. And even your family's still giving you a hard time. I mean, I was a groom, and my dad was like, what exactly are you doing here? But you know that your family also had the same reaction, and you're like at the upper echelon, lets me know that, okay, I'm not the only one with a non-horsey abnormal family. Okay.
No, for sure. Yeah. I mean, they totally respect what it is that I do now, but in the beginning, you know, and they know that I love it, and they know that this is, you know, my decision for me personally. Yes, it's not a huge paying job. Of course, I took a pay cut when I left downtown Boston, but for me personally, this is the lifestyle I want to lead. So this is what I've done. This is what I've chosen. So I love the travel. I've gotten, lucky me, I do work for the upper end, but I've gotten to travel the world basically with these horses. I've been to Hong Kong. I've been to Rio. I've been to Germany. I've been to England. I've been everywhere, and it's incredible. So, you know, there's not necessarily the opportunity for that for everybody, obviously, but there's, you know, sky's the limit. If you want to keep learning and keep being better at it, there's no stopping, really.
Okay, yeah. And I think Liv is still trying to call back in. So I think, let me see if we got her here. Liv, are you there?
I am.
Oh,
okay.
She is.
All right, good. Hold still. Don't move with that cell phone so we can actually understand you.
Okay.
You know, I want to congratulate you for taking the time and effort. Were you one of the founders of this group?
I am, and in fact, right now it is only me.
There you go.
Doing everything. Yeah.
Well,
so, yeah,
I have to thank you, too, because
founder.
I noticed you've been posting a lot on Facebook pages everywhere, including ours, so we appreciate that. What's your membership like now, and how are you getting the word out to the grooms? What's your membership now? How are you getting the word out? And is it limited to just eventers, or is it everything?
No,
and in fact, I don't have a formal membership in place. I mean, to be perfectly, you know, straightforward with you, I have a really loyal following on Facebook, which is fantastic because they're very active in their posts. And my website's only been up for 2 weeks.
Okay.
So this is completely the very, very beginning of what is hopefully going to become gigantic. But slowly, so that I don't get overwhelmed all at once, because it is just me, you know, right now. So that's what we have, like the very bare bones beginning. It's the bottom level, time to work up.
Hey, Liv, I said that, too, when I started the Horse Radio Network. It's just going to be one show, and now 3 years later, there's 980,000 listeners. So look out for that wild ride. It's coming.
I know. I've received so much support from everybody. And I want to be really clear that while this is an association and a group and a gathering place and a community for grooms, we really can't do it without the trainers and the barn managers and the owners and the veterinarians and, you know, the massage therapists and the saddle fitters and everybody involved, because it's a whole team to manage a horse. And we need all of those other people to support what we're doing, and that is to raise awareness about what it is to be a groom and to help grooms get a better foothold in the industry and have a place to go. So we can't do it alone, that's for sure.
Well, I think it's just terrific. And I actually hope it does expand from here and become an organization that becomes an advocacy group for the grooms. And I think Max knows how we feel about grooms over here at the Horse Radio Network. Chris, you know, Chris sponsors an award for grooms.
Right. Yes, he does.
Yeah, it's something that we feel very, very strongly about. So good job.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
And, you know, I think Max pointed out one of the things that we don't often think about is that if she was still in Boston, if she was still downtown there doing that financial job, and by the way, Max, that's what I did before this, you, Max, you wouldn't have seen any of the parts of the world that you've seen. I think we may have lost Max. I'm not sure.
You know, that's okay. I'll jump in and answer that question,
yeah,
too.
Yeah.
I worked for many years in the corporate world, and it was something that was good for me at the time, but something was calling me back to the horses. And just like Max, you take the big pay cut, and you give up certain things. You give up weekends, but what you get in exchange is an experience of a lifetime with travel and meeting people and learning, and it's amazing. It's absolutely amazing.
I wanted to ask Jamie, what was one of the biggest frustrations you found as a groom?
Cold weather. I couldn't handle it. I was in Southern Pines, and I think it's still the coldest winter on record in Southern Pines. And I remember I didn't have a car. So, again, the money thing is, you know, you start at the bottom and you have to work your way up. And I started at the dead bottom. I didn't even own a car. So I was living in Southern Pines. And, of course, as you know, you can ride through the forest to get to work. So I had a bicycle. So I'd have to ride my bicycle through the sand, which sucks. It was uphill both ways, 3 feet of snow, you know. And sometimes, I mean, it was a lot of snow, so sometimes I would have to get off and actually push my bicycle through the snow or just walk. And you would get through the snow to the barn where you were then outside the entire day. And, again, I live in Phoenix, and I do complain about August, but there is a reason that I am happy 10 months out of the year in Phoenix. It's because there's just no winter. So your hands, when you go to clean buckets, you know, your hands would get so chapped and they would crack, and then you're just freezing to death, and you're doing it all for like $4 an hour. So that was the most frustrating part. If I was making millions, then I wouldn't have complained. But that's what goes to show you that grooms' jobs are so difficult. I was reading the blog, A Day in the Life, that's here on the groom's website, proequinegrooms.com, and I love it. It's A Day in the Life, and this is a happy groom. Max, did you write this?
I did not. I don't think so. I think Liv wrote it.
Yeah. Oh, Liv, you wrote it. Okay. Gotcha. You take the exact best parts of being a groom, you put it out there. You're right. Getting to the barn before all living creatures and the sun are awake. But that's when you do, you know, describe that to everybody, because I thought it was just so eloquently written, and I really, really appreciated the article. Now, what you didn't say was that sometimes it's cold and it's freezing and it sucks and you have a bad day, and that's going to happen with any job.
Yeah. But for me, my favorite time of being a groom is when I'm there and it's quiet and the riders aren't there and clients aren't there and the radio's not on, and all you hear is the horses in their stalls kind of gently rustling around and eating their hay. And, you know, maybe the birds and the dogs are there, and it's such a really quiet time. And it's very, I've always really, really enjoyed it, even if what you're doing is mucking stalls and putting your hands in freezing cold, you know, water buckets to scrub them out and, you know, working on your cracked, chapped hands. It's still that time of day when it's quiet and peaceful and you can kind of relax and get ready for the day.
Liv, mine was, I agree with you, Liv. Mine was actually just, it was the same and the opposite. Mine was always when we were done at the barn at the end of a busy day and we were the last ones to leave the barn and we heard the horses contentedly eating after we had brought them in and it was all quiet, because then I knew the day was over and I was going in to have a beer. So mine is the exact opposite of yours. Hey, we have a caller that has called in to talk to Max and Liv. So do you guys mind taking a caller?
Absolutely.
Sure.
Okay. Randy, good morning. How are you?
Well, good morning, Glenn. Good morning, Jamie. Good morning, Max. And good morning, Liv. How are you all doing this morning?
Good. Hello. How are you?
Good morning.
It's so great to hear this. I wanted to say that as part of my career, I was also a professional groom. And I actually started at the top. I unexpectedly ended up working for George Morris at Hunterton.
Oh, wow.
You know, it was an amazing experience to get in at that level, which most people don't.
Yes.
But, you know, there are so many issues that grooms have, and I'm so glad, Leave, and that's the correct pronunciation of your name, isn't it, Leave? Or
either
is it Liv?
Either or is fine.
Okay. I mean, yeah. There is no protection for grooms out there. I remember, you know, grooms that would be out there at 3 o'clock in the morning and they'd be going until 10 o'clock at night.
Mm-hmm.
If they were lucky, they'd get a half an hour break. So there's no protection.
Oh, yeah.
I see a lot in the international circles. There's a lot of competition from the illegals that come in. You know, at the big circus, we used to have special announcements that would come over the speaker systems to let all the illegals, and I'm talking from any country, from Scandinavia to wherever, they would announce a special code so that all the illegals would hide from the from the immigration, which was, you know, that was okay, but it takes away a lot of jobs from professional grooms in the United States.
Yeah.
I feel like it does. You know, and I'm, so you're working together to bring, like, insurance and that type of thing into the industry, Liv?
Yeah, one day down the road, yes. To have options available and to have resources available, if somebody doesn't have health insurance through their employer, they have a place to go to do the research to get it on their own. It's easy for them. It's a one-stop shop, that website.
And that is so important. And, of course, the legal rights.
Yeah, and a lot of people don't understand, you know, the difference between being paid hourly and salary and independent contractor versus employee and things like that that you find in the horse industry. And those definitions need to be spelled out for people so that they understand fully, if they accept a position, what the ramifications are of that, you know, employment status. Because a lot of people aren't aware of that, and a lot of people don't know what workman's comp is.
Well, it doesn't even happen in the horse industry, does it? Workman's comp? Who gets that in the horse industry?
We do.
We do, yes. You know,
wow.
Of course, Max does, and I did, because we worked for, or I, you know, Max worked for, and I worked for, you know, the very top level of rider.
Right.
And, of course, they have workman's compensation. But a lot of barns don't,
yes.
But they try to get around it through legal loopholes that really aren't so legal. So all of that needs to be clarified and put out there.
Oh,
well,
absolutely.
I think too. There's a difference. You know, we have to make a distinction between a working student and a professional groom. And I think in some people's minds that all gets muddied. But a professional groom is in fact taking home a paycheck and should be getting a W-2 if it's all done legally and correct, right, Max?
Yes, exactly. That's, you know, that would be the case. Or some people come in as an independent contractor and get paid as an independent contractor, and then in that case they get a 1099 at the end of the year.
Right. Well, thank you, Randy, for calling in. We have to wrap up this segment. We appreciate it. And you guys, what's the website again, Liv?
It is proequinegrooms.com.
Okay, proequinegrooms.com, and I know you have a Facebook page. They can search for professional equine grooms over there, and you post all the time, so we see your name popping up, and we appreciate that. So thank you so much for getting up early and joining us, and Max, as always, it's always good to hear you.
Oh, thank you, Glenn, and thanks, Liver. I know it's early where she is. She's out in California, so that's actually, it's not that early. If you're used to the horses, it's not early at all.
and I want to put in another plug for Max for this week. Go to eventingradio.com. You can listen about her dream vacation and which hot guy she would bring along. So,
guys. I got to tell you that it is actually nice to have, because I'm also on the West Coast, it is so nice to have another person on the air with us who is awake this time in the morning. We didn't have to prompt her. She jumped right in because this is actual regular daytime for her.
So I appreciate it.
It's
actually late.
Exactly.
All right, guys. You have a great weekend. Thank you.
Thank you.
Glenn, you guys too. Thanks for having us.
All right, bye-bye. Well, that was fun. You know, I bet you that brought back some memories, though, for you of your grooming days. And Jennifer, too, you know, she spent some time grooming for eventers, too.
Yeah, doing the racehorses and then the eventers, it is definitely it definitely brings back memories. And you're exactly right. I mean, I had to purchase my own insurance policy when I worked at the track. Obviously, you're just out of luck, you know, if that's the case. So you spend so much on an insurance policy because there's no workers' comp, and then you wake up just at the before dawn. I mean, almost like a radio job. You get up about that early because, you know, especially on the track, the horses have to be on the track around 5:30, which means they have to have, you know, already been tagged up and groomed and everything. So sometimes, you know, our mornings would start around 3:30 or 4 at the racetrack. And the same with the, you know, Southern Pines jobs that I had. Same deal, you know, so early. And again, I'm not kidding you, Glenn. I lived in Southern Pines, and there would be 3 feet of the snow on the ground, and I had to walk or bicycle to work. It was the worst. And it's so early that the sun hasn't even come up yet, so it would be like 2 degrees outside. And, of course, I would have to put on so many clothes that it was impossible to even walk through the snow because I had to lift my leg up 3 feet to get through the snow, and, of course, I can't bend my knee because I'm wearing so many clothes.
I know. We lived, you know, we lived in Pennsylvania. We knew exactly what you were going through. There were days
exactly.
We had to crawl over the snowdrifts to get to the barn because they were that high. You had to go on your hands and knees, or you couldn't get to the barn. So I know exactly what you're talking about. And you know, I'm glad that Max is involved in this because she is the epitome of a professional groom in the horse world right now, and she's well spoken, and she's really really good representative of that. Because she takes her job very seriously, and she has to. She works for the O'Connors, but still, I mean, she does it very well and takes her job seriously. And well, good for them. I hope it expands. I hope it grows, and I hope it becomes something really worthwhile for the grooms out there. It's probably needed 20 years ago.
By the way, I just want to say that shout out to Max. I couldn't get a word in, obviously, with the interview, but I wanted to tell Max how much her last article in the United States Eventing Association newsletter or magazine was. There's a magazine that comes out every month now for eventers, and Max is a regular contributor to the magazine and wrote the most fantastic article on just fitting your tack. And how important it is to have your tack fit correctly. But she also did pictures and, like, exactly where the martingale should sit and the breast collar and the noseband. It was just such a great reminder of how everything should fit. And I went out and bought, because of her, I went out and bought the breast collar because she prefers the breast collar to not be the same as the martingale. So I said, well, it looks like I need to get two. So that's when I bought it from Bit of Britain up at Ada. So I did some shopping because of Max. So hopefully she'll re-listen to this and hear my big thank you.
Well, there you go. Well, all right, let's. What are we doing next? Next, we are coming up to everybody's favorite part of the week, and that is Really Bad Ads, and that'll be coming up right after our song today. And our song is sponsored by Pocket Stable. You know, I don't know how long we have to talk about this. Jamie and I have been talking about Pocket Stable since we started this show. If you haven't gone on your iPhone to the App Store and punched in Pocket Stable and spent $3.99 to buy it yet, then I don't know. You're just not getting it because Pocket Stable is the most terrific thing. Jamie's going to be moving soon, and she's going to have all of her records from her horses packed in boxes. And if I know her, she's not going to unpack them for another 6 months. So if she was relying on the records that are in the boxes to know when the farrier's coming up and when the vet's due and when the shots are due and all that stuff and worming and all that, she wouldn't do it because it's going to be packed away and she's not going to unpack it. She's a horsewoman. They don't unpack for months. So I know all that's not going to be a problem because it's in your phone, right?
It is. It's right here, my Pocket Stable app right here on my phone that is well worth the $3.99.
All right. So that we don't need to say anymore. Go to the App Store on your iPhone and type in Pocket Stable, download it, and you're going to be good to go. Now, after you do it, please fill in all the information because it's really not going to do you any good unless you actually use it. So that's just the
So that's easy to do.
It's PocketStable.com. Hey, it was third Thursday time for Templeton Thompson. In the third Thursday sessions, and she did a new one for us. And that new one is a Jane Taylor classic called Sweet Baby Jane. Well, this has another meaning for Templeton Thompson because Jane is her special horse that she loves so much that was made into a briar. So she changed the tune up a bit and did her own version of Sweet Baby Jane. It's the first time you're hearing it. So here's Templeton Thompson with Jane Taylor's classic Sweet Baby Jane.
There is a young cowboy who lives on the range. His horse and his cattle are his only companion. He works in the saddle and he sleeps in the canyon, waiting for summer, his pastures to change. And as the moon rises, he sits by his fire, thinking about women and glasses of beer. He closes his eyes as the dogies retire. He sings out a song which is soft but it's clear, as if maybe someone could hear. Good night, you moonlight lady, rock goodbye, sweet baby Jane. Deep greens and blues are the colors I choose. Won't you let me go down in my dreams and rock goodbye, sweet baby Jane. Well, the 1st of December is covered with snow, and so was the turnpike from Stockbridge to Boston. All the Berkshires seem dreamlike on account of that frosting. With 10 miles behind me, 10 million more to go. There's a song that they sing when they take to the highway, a song that they sing when they take to the sea, a song that they sing of their home in the sky. Maybe you can believe it if it helps you to sleep. Singing works just fine for me. So good night, you moonlight lady, rock goodbye, sweet baby Jane. Deep greens and blues are the colors I choose. Won't you let me go down in my dreams and rock goodbye, sweet baby Jane.
And that is Templeton Thompson. I was just so enjoying the music. It's like, it's over.
So I know, it ends kind of quickly.
It's just beautiful song, though. Okay, that was Templeton Thompson, Third Thursday Sessions. You're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network. And today's show is sponsored, thankfully, by Kentucky Performance Products. And it's that time again, Glenn.
Pay attention.
Everybody's favorite time of the week, which is the end of the show, which means it's Friday and the show is coming to a close, but we have to entertain you with everybody else's idiocy before we let you go. And that is definitely true. Now, we ask, of course, lots of our listeners to submit their really bad ads or really bad photos. If you're new to the show, really bad ads is, I think it just people forget they're trying to sell stuff. And I think that there's a lot of people who did not finish their 8th grade education in English, maybe even 3rd grade education in English. And if they did, they forgot it. Because they don't spell, they don't punctuate, they don't really use real words half the time. Or maybe it was one that had no punctuation, or it was one that is selling something absolutely ridiculous, or, you know, there's a million ways. And you're going to find out all of those right now. We have our first one sent in by Kelly Utter. Glenn, tell us what this one is.
And the winner today wins a Redmond Rock gift pack, and that's from the Redmond Rock Company. You can find them at redmondequine.com. Lots of they have the best salt rocks and mineral rocks for your horses. You're going to love them. Our horses love them. We brought a couple home from Ada to give to Beaker because Beaker will lick on this thing for an hour. He loves these things. He's not so much for those white processed salt bricks. He loves these things. So Redmond Rocks, thank you very much for supporting us and for providing the gift pack for the winner today. So the first one, you know how in Texas everything's done bigger, but, you know, some of those cowboys in Texas, they use very few words. Well, this is sent in by Kelly Utter, and this ad is out of Amarillo, Texas, and this just this is just the epitome of the Texas cowboy. The title is Horse. Sit, just horse. And the ad is call or text, and it gives the phone number. And then after that, it says Steele has his nuts. That's the entire ad. Horse, and apparently this particular horse has his nuts. Just saying.
Steele has his nuts.
Do you think it was supposed to be still has his nuts?
Of course it was, but he's in South, he's in Amarillo, Texas. Still is pronounced steel. Steel has his nuts. Now, but I'm surprised you didn't know that, Glenn.
Well, it's either that or the horse's name was Steel.
Yeah, no, I don't think so. It wasn't capitalized, okay? Don Daly sent in the next
one. Like that matters.
Exactly. It's a proper noun, Glenn. It should have been capitalized if it was his name. Don Bailey sent in the next one, and Don sent in several of them. And this one is really short as well. And the title is 85-gallon water trough horses for horse. Let me read that again because I'm thinking I might have got it wrong. No, I didn't. 85-gallon water trough horses for horse. Now, I guess it's supposed to be trough, and trough is spelled T-R-O-U-F, so trough. Then you go to the ad, and it says black, tough stuff, 85-gallon horse trough, and then the phone number. And trough is actually spelled differently yet again, and again incorrectly, T-R-O-F-F. So they're trying to sell something they don't even know what it is. Okay.
What's the horses for horse? I don't even get that part. Oh, well. Let's not try and figure them out too much. We'll get a headache. And Dawn sent in another one, too. She was really good at finding the ones that had some brevity to them this week. And this one is brief as well. It says, I have two stirs or heifers, 800 pounds, $750. I have two stirs or heifers, 800 pounds. And then the ad reads, it's a medical emergency that I am selling my stirs. They're weighing 800 pounds, but need to sell them fast. Please text. So I'm not sure is that. But, what? I got that wrong. It's a medical emergency.
It's a medical emergency. And when she wrote that they're weighing 800 pounds, she actually wrote weigh-in, W-A-Y-I-N. Weigh-in 800 pounds. Is this another one from Texas? I don't know where Moses Lake is, but fantastic job, Don.
Stirs and hypers.
Yeah, stirs and hypers. And this is the pick of the week. This came from R. Mitchell. And it's an old army trailer with horse walker. I don't know what a horse walker is, but basically it's like how the hell do you get the horse in? This is a horse trailer that I would not put 2x4s into, you know, for fear that they would be spilled across the road. So it's like a little bumper pull, like army trailer, just the flatbed part. And then they have put you got to post a picture on Facebook because they've put like walls on it, but there's actually no roof or balancing, or room for a horse, actually, too. So the ad says army trailer that is heavy duty and a single horse walker. I don't know what that means.
You know
but
what I thought was absolutely amazing? Is they wanted $2,000 for this thing.
Oh, my God. Are you serious?
Yes, $2,000.
That's Arizona for you. It's from Florence, Arizona.
Amazing. Yeah.
The next one, Andrea McCullough sent in this one. And this lady is really trying to do a public service. She wants to take any unwanted livestock. And the ad says, if you have any free or cheap livestock you would like to get rid of, we are interested. This includes horses, gelding, looking for gelding, donkeys, chickens, quail, pigeons, turkeys, goats, Nubian pygmy, Nigerian dwarf, pigs, potbelly or feeder, peacocks, rabbits, llamas, etc. Please email us if you have any. We ensure that they will be safe. We've never had a problem with predators. All pens, oh God, this is even funnier. All pens are secure and guarded by Great Pyrenees dogs, which we will also take in. We want everything for free, and we're going to be particular about it. We want dogs, but only one specific breed. We want goats, but only if they're Nubian pygmy or Nigerian dwarf. You can certainly donate your pigs, only if they're potbelly or feeder, and we'll take your horse, but only if it's a gelding.
And I think we missed a part of this ad, actually, because it really should have said, we ensure they will be safe in our great big cooking pot outside.
Yeah.
Or, we ensure they will be safe as lunch for the Great Pyrenees dogs, which we also take in great quantities. Yeah. By the way, you remember the other, this is off the topic, but sort of on the topic, because obviously this person's a hoarder. So, did you hear yesterday that the number one, that the record was broken for the number of cats found in a house?
Oh, God. Oh, God. What is it?
Are you ready
I don't know what
for this?
Cats in a house. I mean, I've seen them where the ads are like 200 cats, 150 cats.
No.
What was it?
No. So remember we determined when we had this big argument and some of our listeners had more than seven cats and I was calling them a hoarder and they all got mad at me. You remember that? So,
yes, I do.
Yeah, well, how about, you know, you would think 200-300 cats would be a lot in a house.
That's a lot of the cats. That's 200-300 cats.
500 would be a lot.
Oh,
how
God.
About 698 live cats and one chicken?
Oh, they probably used to have 698 chickens, but the cats picked them off. Honey, there was a woman just arrested and had 698 cats in her house.
Oh, no. And the interesting part about this is normally it is just a woman, crazy cat lady. This was a couple. They arrested both of them with 48 different charges of animal cruelty for having 698 cats and one chicken. Do you think that chicken felt very insecure a lot of the time?
I would say that chicken, and one chicken, poor chicken, it was scared to death all the time. All the time. But what I want to know, too, is because this is always part of the hoarders, is how many dead cats were in their freezer?
I did
because
not hear that.
In every episode of Hoarders that there's animals, they always take the dead animals, and they're just so overwhelmed or lazy that they just stick them in the freezer. And okay. Why do you bring that up? It's disgusting. Let's see. And the next one, go ahead.
All right. The next one is first time we have ever had a hitching post in our really bad ad segment. It says hitching post to safely tie horses while you groom them and tack them up. $25. Hitching post pulled out of the ground, used one summer. Excellent condition. $25. Not really a funny ad, but it's the first time we've ever had a hitching post, and the guy's standing there holding it up because apparently one of the horses pulled it out of the ground, and it was never put back in the ground. Was it a very sturdy hitching post?
Well, Anna Cluxton sent that one in. Thank you very much. And the next one is two horses for sale. Oh, God. Okay. I must admit, and this is sad to admit, and Chad, my husband's in here. You can listen to this one, too, because this is actually my neighborhood. This is actually the street I live off of, okay? But mind you, it's an equestrian community. Everybody has 2 to 3 acres. And this, to me, is the epitome of my neighborhood. When people see me riding around, they're like, wow, you actually have English tack and, like, are posting. They don't even know. What's that up-down thing you're doing? Like, they don't even know. So there's a lot of... There's really no laws when it comes to keeping horses in Arizona. And certainly you have to pass no test. So this is down the street from my house. 2 horses for sale, $1,000. Across streets of 303 in Waddell, which is scary close to my house. I have one, mind you, this is in all caps, so she's actually yelling at us. I have 1 male and 1 pregnant female. She's going to have the baby in 2 to 3 weeks. So first of all, thank you for letting us know it's the female that's going to have the baby. I have 1 male and 1 pregnant female. She is going to have the baby in 2 to 3 weeks. I don't know anything else about them. I just can't afford them anymore. Please help. Asking $1,000 for both. Sorry about the text. My camera's a little blurry. Just call Mary blah, blah, blah at blah, blah, blah. If you buy the horses, you can have 5 chickens free if you can catch them.
Okay, Jamie.
That's
I'm gonna help.
My
I'm gonna from one side is your husband Chad saying, "No, you're not going," and from the other side is me saying, "No, you're not going."
Oh my God, no, Glenn. The last thing I want to do is have a male and pregnant female that's gonna have a baby in 2 to 3 weeks. And
no, you would do that just to get the free chicken.
Do you want to know something kind of sad? This is, I actually meant to tell you this earlier on a side note, too. Remember the new house that we're going to move into, potentially? They actually had chickens, and they were going to leave them there. And I was like, oh, my gosh, a flock of 11 chickens, hens, all hens, that are egg layers. And I was excited about it. Did I tell you that part?
Yes, yes. You said you were very excited about it because your other chickens got eaten by the vicious wolf dog that's in the neighborhood.
Yeah, which they still haven't caught. That's another story. I went over to the house last night to kind of learn. She was the owner of the house, was going to show me some stuff and kind of get me caught up. And I was like, where are the chickens? She goes, you didn't hear? I said, no, please, no, no, no. Don't tell me. Don't tell me that a coyote came here and ate everything. She's like, oh, no, it wasn't the coyote. Do you remember that really, really bad haboob that we had a couple weeks ago? And
it
I
took
said,
the chickens
yeah.
away.
She goes, they all blew away. Every one of the chickens except for one. And I look out and there is one lonely chicken sitting in a tree.
With no feathers.
And all 10 of the other chickens. She's like, I don't know what happened. They must have blown away. I don't know. There's no feathers. There's no nothing. Just the chickens are gone. I'm like, oh, my God.
Not in Kansas
they blew
anymore.
Away in the, yeah, exactly. This is a god-awful place to live in August. I'm renting a house somewhere else next August. Okay, back to the ads. Yes, 5 chickens free if you can catch them. I may just go try to catch some chickens. By the way, the post, Jennifer is going to post the picture online because this woman in this ad, by the way, she says, sorry about the pics. My camera is a little blurry. Glenn, this is not just a blurry camera. You can't even see the horse hardly through the picture. So Jennifer's going to post it on Facebook, and you can see actually how blurry it is, which is just not even a little blurry. So there you go. We'll get that posted.
There you are. let's skip ahead of here a little bit. Why don't you do the one about the free kitten that Aubrey sent in?
Okay. Free to a good home. Free kitten, Aubrey Miller. I have a kitten who is 8 weeks and 3 days old, female born May 11th. She is black with orange flecks, F-L-E-X, all through her fur, F-E-R. She's a cute kitten. She's ready to leave Mama today. She's been around people and is solely an indoor kitten since birth. Mama and Papa, we failed to get fixed in time, which resulted in a litter of kittens. We were waiting to get them fixed together as there was a difference in their ages. Papa Cat is now fixed. Anyway, we have 1 kitten left. About Mama and Papa Cat, they're solely indoor cats who are flea-free, mite-free, have been vaccinated and dewormed and only eat dry food. So the result is the kittens are super healthy with no fleas or mites and don't need dewormed. St- stomachs are not distended. We want this kitten to go to a forever home. Please tell me about your living conditions and your plans for this kitten. She can go anytime, though. If you agree to take her, you must take her. Mama cat is aggressive, and if I bring the kitten back with a foreign scent, I showed her a neighbor kitten a few weeks ago, and she attacked me. With the foreign scent on her, she becomes nasty and will bite and scratch the hell out of me. She is this way out of She is this way out of instinct and protective of her kittens. She is normally a very loving cat. She has had no problems once her other kittens left. Yeah. What on earth? This is a free kitten that you're trying to find a forever home for. You got it. What plans do you have for this kitten? There's a joke overload.
Yeah, I'm going to hook her to a harness, and she's going to pull a milk wagon, you know? I thought Aubrey made a comment at the end of her email. She said, huh? Sounds perfect. Black with flex in her fur and mama that will destroy you if she's ticked off. So just what I want. A kitten that comes from mama that'll scratch your face off. Great.
Nice.
That's
nice.
Trying to sell it. All right. Don Dean sent in this one. It's a sorrel gelding horse, $125. I know nothing about horses, and I have never rode them. Previous owner says he is standard bred, broke to ride, and has shots. He is kind horse. That was all one sentence, by the way. 13 hand owner says 4 years old. And then, you know how on Craigslist you can put an update after the ad goes up? You can add an update to it?
Uh-huh.
This is the first time we've ever had an ad with an update. So the update came in like a day or two later. It says, update. A rider came and he bucked. So not sure he's good and broke after all. Still $125.
We didn't take anything off the whopping $125 price tag.
So apparently somebody came out and the horse wasn't so good broke after all.
Yeah. Oh, wait, I've never seen a 13-hand standard bred. Is that pretty common?
No, it's not real common at all.
I don't think 13-hand high standard breds are pretty common. So good luck. They got bucked off. At least it wasn't a far fall when they got bucked off. Okay, this is from Gene Nelson. And this is just overly, this is just too descriptive. You've been too descriptive in this ad, and you need to edit yourself. And I'm just going to read this super fast. I have an 18-year-old, this is Gene Nelson. I have an 18-month-old yearling that is going to have the speed for racing. He already wants to walk from the barn to the pasture really fast. Just because he is an Ohio breed horse doesn't mean he won't win races. On his pedigree, I have found out that he has Kentucky bloodlines. He was put on a walker, and he wanted to run faster than the walker would go. He's already 15 hands, and he's going to be every bit of 17 hands by the time he is fully grown.
I just had this picture of the walker going 90 miles an hour with the horse pushing it. You know?
The horse was trying to get away from the walker, honey, and probably to get away from you. I am selling him because I hate to see him sit in the barn when he could go to someone who can afford to raise him, and they will buy him and let him do what he was born to do. His dad was a winner, and his mother raced one race. She won that race. I just got a good feeling about this boy. I really want somebody to buy him to race him. On his feet, he is on his feet very light when he walks. He is a dark bay and a black mane. He is named Biscuit Just Right. I can't say enough about this horse. I have looked on his pedigree, and all of his forefathers and mothers was considered grade one horses. So I'm hoping that I can find a Kentucky buyer to take this boy under his wings and take him back to his roots and give this boy a chance. Look at Seabiscuit. He was a horse that nobody wanted, and his owner took a chance, and he won many races. And I gave this horse the name of Biscuit Just Right. I thought of Seabiscuit. He was a great winner, and then I tacked on the Just Right part to where he was named after our first thoroughbred horse we ever had. He had a lot of speed, and he loved to run. So that is how Biscuit got his name. My wish is to see this horse go all the way to the top when he is of age. I don't have the money to do so, and I am hoping that somebody else will. Thanks for listening to my story of this horse. Interested in him, send me an email with your phone number, and I'll get back to you. Thanks so much. Oh, my God.
Well, she certainly is doing a very good job at trying to sell him. I mean, she has described everything.
She believes in him.
She does.
She believes in him. Even though he's an Ohio breed, he can win races. And obviously, he is the exact replica of Seabiscuit. And he's an 18-month-old yearling.
But he's fast. He's fast. He's really, really
he's
fast.
Fast.
Yeah.
He's fast.
Well, let's go. We're running out of time here. Do you want to do Kelly's, or do we want to go right to the winner?
See, I think Kelly's would have been a winner in any other week. So do you want to hold
let's
her?
Let's do Kelly's the next week. Yeah, let's do that.
Okay.
So, because there was a winner today that we had to have, and this is a short one. It was a good week for short ads. And this winner is Samantha from California. And by the way, Samantha, congratulations. You're going to get your...
Jennifer posted the picture of the blurry photo.
Yes.
Sorry about the pics. My camera's a little blurry. Really bad ads. Somebody wrote under it, Mae Schneider wrote underneath it, there are better pics out there of the Loch Ness Monster.
Well, do we have a picture of the winner, by the way? Is Jennifer going to be able to post that?
Yes. Yes. Okay. We got her the picture of the winner.
Well, this is out of California, I believe. And this is Samantha. And it's really short, but it was funny. So here it is. One bale of straw plus $5. I have one bale of straw plus three slices and one garbage can full, all clean. Phone this number. And then it says, please do not text. Bring own container. I want to keep my garbage can.
Okay.
This person
a bale
actually
of straw.
One bale of straw and three slices and a garbage can full.
And a garbage can full, but they want to keep their garbage can, so you got to bring your own garbage can to put their garbage can full of hay and straw in. And they actually, Glenn, posted a picture.
I haven't seen the picture yet. I got to see the picture. I haven't seen the picture yet.
Well, as you can imagine, it's straw. Oh, yeah, that's fantastic. So,
would drive out there, probably spend $4 in gas at today's prices, to buy one bale of straw plus three slices of garbage can full? Who would do that?
And what's funny is they call them three slices.
I know. Obviously not horse people. Katie Livingood commented on that photo you were just talking about, too, the blurry one. She said, just please tell me that it's the male and not the female. She's going to have a baby in 2 to 3 weeks. Yeah, this horse is pretty skinny. So I'm hoping it's the male, too, because if this is the female, there ain't going to be nothing left after she has the baby. Well, there it is. And congratulations to Samantha from California. You want to send your real address so we can send out your prizes to jennifer@horseradionetwork.com. Be sure to get your really bad ads in for next week, and you can send them to Jennifer also. We'd love to post them for next week. Kelly will post yours next week that we skipped. It was a pretty good one, so we'll put that up next week as well. That's it. We're done. Phew.
It's Friday, baby. Yeah. All right, everybody, please enjoy your weekend. Have a great one. Hopefully it'll be really fun. And this weekend, what do you guys have coming up? What are we going to hear about on Monday?
We're working at the barn all weekend, so we're bound to have some stories.
Oh, good. I'm going to I have a lesson in the morning and one more final horse shopping. Hopefully this is the final shopping for one of my students. Hopefully.
It will be.
We'll see.
Have a great weekend, 40. Everybody. And Jamie.
Spay, neuter, and geld.
We'll see you at Peeler's.